Okay, go ahead and go to the first slide on the sermon. Then the Lord said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also from the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the garden of Eden, a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." Now, these words are very interesting in the fact that we are ushered out of the Garden of Eden. That's just a very serious thing. We had eaten from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, it was not an apple. The fruit of knowledge is much different than the fruit of the Spirit. And not all the fruit is necessarily bad, because there's knowledge of good and evil. The hard thing is for us to make the right choices. But in God's love, He created the earth and man out of His love, and as an expression of Himself, which is interesting. We are made in His image. Something that is far from what we can imagine or understand. We really can't understand what it means to have eaten even from the tree of knowledge. I mean, we know the results of knowledge. Man is very creative. The one thing that we're learning, and I've learned, is that there's not a thing yet that man hasn't created that hasn't ended up in a landfill. And it isn't just that simple. God wants us to be creative. He created us in love. He knew beforehand that we would have to be redeemed. So the interesting thing is He denied us or protected us from. After we disobeyed Him, He sent us out of the garden because He loved us and wanted to redeem us. So He protected us from the tree of life until we were fully redeemed. Now again, that's something we can't understand. Why would we be protected from the tree of life? Now, chances are Adam and Eve had eaten off of the tree of life. I mean, we sometimes wonder, why did people live to be 900 years old? Well, if you had, you know, your great-grandparents, even if you're like now at Enoch's time, or great-great-great-great-grandparents or whatever it is, that had eaten from the tree of life, it's no problem that your son Methuselah might just lived to be 969 years old, because it was still close enough. It wasn't until after Noah's day that He said, you'll just live 120 years, and yet some, like Abraham, lived to be 185. So it's interesting and beyond our comprehension. And from Ruth, "Stay here for the night. In the morning, if he wants to do his duty as guardian redeemer, good, let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." Now, this is a love story, and it is a human love story. The neat thing is that Boaz something I was not. He was a good husband before they were married. Now, one thing that we should know, I mean, history has proven it, and especially in our days now, just like the days of the story of Ruth, in the days of Judges, people did whatever they thought was right in their own eyes. Love and sex are not the same thing. Now, they belong together, but the sexual part was for one purpose, and that was to fill the earth, to complete God's first command. The love story in Ruth is a human love story, an example of God's love expressed through the Mosaic law of the kinsman redeemer, which continues God's receptive love story. It continues God's love story. It's right there. Now, we don't always look at the Mosaic law, but the one thing that we want to keep in mind, Jesus very specifically said that the law would not end with his resurrection. Now, the sacrificial parts of the law had served their purpose because Jesus was the sacrifice that we needed. And so the Mosaic laws were lovingly given to expose our sinfulness and to keep and to expose our sinfulness and our need for a redeemer. And the Mosaic laws are there. The neat thing is that the Ten Commandments, which are part of the Mosaic law that still exist, I wish we could write laws that simple before. We wouldn't need to pay lawyers as much money as we do. And again, don't need lawyer jokes either, but it's just, but they get enough trouble. We won't go there. But the Mosaic law is simple and it's still in effect. There are consequences to our sins. But the Lord is merciful in this life because he brings the rain on both the wicked and the righteous. He doesn't discriminate between them at this time. There are blessings for both. Okay, next slide. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for. Now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight, he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, get dressed in your best clothes, then go down to the threshing floor. But don't let him know that you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he's lying, and then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." Now, first of all, one of the things that she's mentioning here is he's a relative. Ruth and Boaz have known each other now for at least 4 months, up to six, because she's been gleaning in his fields since the beginning of the barley harvest, which is about the time of Passover, and it's now the time of Yom Kippur, or close to that time, which is the time of the wheat, end of the wheat harvest. And I might have those, if Sandy can correct me if I did that wrong, but but it is important to know that they have known each other for a while. Also, Ruth's answer saying, "I will do whatever you say." So she went down to the threshing floor and she did that. Ruth agreed to go to the threshing floor Following Naomi's instructions, Ruth did not go to the threshing floor to draw Boaz into sexual activity. Instead, she was signaling her interest in Boaz as a husband and kinsman redeemer. Ruth would not have tainted her honorable character and reputation if she had initiated. She would have tainted her honorable character and reputation if she had initiated sexual immorality at the threshing floor in the middle of the night. The other thing is, the biggest reason they assumed that Boaz was at the threshing floor that night is because it was the time of the judges. There were thieves about. And he had a whole pile of grain that hadn't been moved to the barns yet or to safer storage. And so it was perfectly normal for him to be there. Next verse is, I will do whatever you say, Ruth answered. So she went to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking, he was in good spirits. He went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man, and he turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. Who are you? He said. I am your servant, Ruth, she said. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer for our family. Ruth humbles herself and boldly requests that Boaz honor his family and God in saying, I am a widow of your relative. Do the honorable thing and take me as your wife, is essentially what she's saying in that. Also, by lying at his feet, she was also putting herself in a servant's mode, which would have been, she was humbling herself before him. The Lord bless you, my daughter. It's beginning at verse 10. The Lord bless you, my daughter, he replied. Your kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after younger men, whether rich or poor, and now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as guardian redeemer, good, let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning. So she lay at his feet until morning, got up before anyone could be recognized, and he said, no one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor. Ruth has been loyal and faithful to Naomi and respectful to Boaz and his workers. Boaz has been generous to her and Naomi and given her protection. Boaz demonstrates his integrity by being honest and telling that someone else has the first right to redeem her. He also comforts, encourages, and expresses interest in her as he assures her he will redeem her if the other close relative refuses. Now, dating did not take place in this time period. There was negotiations and things like that sometimes between the parents if they were following the procedures as they should have. Boaz also recognizes how honoring she was again of him and his position. Ruth honored her dead husband, Boaz, and God by correctly seeking a kinsman to redeem her first marriage. Boaz is also shown to be significantly older than Ruth. Boaz also is true to the law by revealing that there is another first who has the first right of refusal or acceptance of his duty. He also assures her that he's willing to redeem her, thus respecting her and God, and also showing that he has an interest or is at least as willing to do this. Jesus recognizes and acknowledges and blesses faith, even though the blessings may not initially appear as a blessing. He also said, "Bring me a shawl you are wearing and hold it out." When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi said, "How did it go, my daughter?" And she told her everything that Boaz had done for her and added, "He gave me 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." Now, again, this is would be a very difficult time for Ruth, and it's neat that Naomi steps up and encourages her in faith. Because at this time, she knows that there's someone else that has that Boaz, if the other person accepts her, and at this point, we assume she has some feelings towards Boaz at this point because she knows of the opportunity. We don't know how long those have been there, but she knows there's that opportunity, and in some ways she would quite naturally be excited for it. But also knowing that there's another person that can simply step in and say, "I'm going to take her, I'm going to redeem her," there also has to be some anxiousness. And so when we're looking at this story, the dating rituals, the rituals preceding marriage are much different today than they were then, but it's just a matter there would still be that anxiety. And a love between a man and a woman is really no different today than it was then, I'm sure. Because the thing that she sees here is that Boaz is willing to make a commitment to honor her and also to protect and watch over her. And he's been providing. Those things are just, they're just there. And so she could be anxious because she really knows nothing about this other man who may be there. Going to chapter 4. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town to gate and sat down there just as the guardian redeemer he had mentioned came along. Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here." And they did so. Then he said to the guardian redeemer, at this point, I'm just going to for a little bit of clarification, the city gate was where business was taken care of. Courts were held there. And so a lot of different things happened at the city gate. They didn't necessarily go to the courthouse or to a lawyer to stand before this to do this. This was done at the city gate. "Sit here." They did so. Then he said to the guardian redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling a piece of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so I will know, for no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line. And he says, I will redeem it. Now, we don't know if Naomi and Ruth were in the crowd at that time, because there was probably a crowd gathering, or if they were still at home waiting. But if they were there, that's not what they wanted to hear. Now, the thing here, the author, because this book was written, by Samuel later on, but to give some of the history of Jesus' line in that time also, or of David's line in that case. But I'm sure that Boaz knew the name of the kinsman redeemer. They believed that the reason that they left it out was so that the descendants of that person would not be embarrassed or by knowing that their great-grandfather could have made them possibly king of the, or if that was the case, but it was just that would, so there would be no, so that no one could just say this family, there. So it gave respect to the person who said that he would not redeem it. Also, he, and this is one of those things, he says Naomi has land to sell, which is true. He only brings in Naomi at this point. And if you notice, this person, I mean, who wouldn't want some land for a good price? Then Boaz said, on the day that you buy the land for Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead and with his property. At this, the guardian redeemer said, then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it for yourself. I cannot do it. Now, at this point, whether Boaz is just giving him an opportunity to refuse. Again, it might be a ploy, just the way that this was set up, because he could have mentioned them both at the same time. We don't really know that, but it can show, again, a desire on Boaz's part to do this redemption. And he was interested in more than the land. He was interested in actually redeeming and following what the Lord set up the kinsman redeemer to do, which is to bring a family back into so that there would be an inheritance and the land would stay where it was supposed to stay. Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to be final, one party would take off his sandal and give it to the others. This is a method of legalizing the transaction in Israel. Now, one of the things, when I went back and saw this, actually, Ruth could have gone and approached, if she'd have known, she could have gone and approached this person and at the city gate, spit in his face and slapped him if he refused. But that part is left out because that's evidence that Ruth was not there at that time. And so Boaz is also doing a very honorable thing by approaching him in this way for both the other kinsman redeemer and for Ruth, saving both of them face, which again is something that the Lord does. One of the things we want to be careful is that we don't put other people in a bad light. That's easy to do sometimes when we're wronged or when things happen. So I want to point out that that is in this story also. Boaz is reminding the redeemer of the rest of his responsibilities, and he chooses not to take them. So the guardian redeemer said to Boaz, buy it yourself, and he removed his sandal. Now, when he removed his sandal, that sealed the deal. He's in front of 10 witnesses, and that is that point. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth, the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family and from his hometown." Then the elders and all the people at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem through the offspring the Lord gives you through this young woman. May your family be like that of Perez, who Tamar bore for Judah." Now, the story of Perez is different, is also there. It's interesting, you might ask, because in many places they may not have honored Tamar, since she acted as a prostitute in order to induce Judah to actually carry out his duties, because two of Judah's sons had died as her husband, and he refused to allow a third son to have her as wife. So she actually forced him to be a kinsman redeemer in a way. And it's amazing how the Lord works these things. Also, Perez is mentioned here honorably because, well, time has passed. The other thing is, if you read some of the genealogies, Bethlehem and Ephrathah, which is the region around Bethlehem, is from the descendants of Perez and Judah. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you to your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better than seven sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child in her hands and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son." And they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, in this, the interesting thing, this was a Levirate or Levite right marriage. It's through the kinsman redeemer marriage. And God wants marriages to be fruitful, and that's shown in this story. From Genesis 21, 27 and 28, be fruitful and multiply. This was a marriage done well and blessed by the Lord. Notice that the son is also called a guardian redeemer for Naomi, because he continues the line of Elimelech, and he also continues the line of Boaz, because Boaz, we don't know, this was quite possibly Boaz's first marriage. As far as we know, there's no other mention of him having another wife. The thing that we also want to get from this is that we are expected to be fruitful. And as this is a precursor to Jesus as a kinsman redeemer, and we as his followers and disciples also are to be fruitful. We also carry on this tradition of bringing people in to the kingdom, which is what is there. And then this is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Amminadab. Amminadab was the father of Nashon. Nashon was the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz. Boaz was the father of Obed. Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David. Now, go to the next slide. Just some concluding statements. I took these from David Guzik's commentary. I modified him a little bit, but I want to make sure that I give him credit. But I just, some of the things he says here, I just, well, a lot of people can say things better than I can. So Boaz, as a kinsman redeemer to Ruth, was not motivated by self-interest, but motivated by love for Ruth. Jesus' motivation for redeeming us is his great love for us. Boaz, as a kinsman redeemer to Ruth, had to have a plan to redeem Ruth himself. And some might have thought the plan was to be foolish. Jesus has a plan to redeem us. And some might think the plan foolish, saving men by dying for them on a cruel cross, yet the plan works and is glorious. Boaz, as kinsman redeemer to Ruth, took her as a bride. The people Jesus has redeemed are collectively called his bride. Boaz, as kinsman redeemer to Ruth, provided a glorious destiny for Ruth. Jesus, as our redeemer, provides a glorious destiny for us. Go ahead and go on to the next one. The consideration of Jesus in the book of Ruth doesn't begin with the mention of King David. Jesus has been there in the whole book, pictured by Boaz and the office of the kinsman redeemer. Kinsman redeemer had to be a family member, and that's one of the things that we don't realize, but Jesus had to become human in order for humans to be saved. We had to be separated from the tree of life, because which enabled us to be saved. And again, this is something that I've heard, but I can't necessarily verify it. But we believe that the devil cannot have salvation. But it could be that he was given access to the tree of life because he also doesn't die. And so he's always been there. And that's so in many ways, we are more blessed than the angels. Because if they fall, there's no redemption. At least that's what we believe. But it's just, we don't realize how great a love is throughout the whole book. The kinsman redeemer had a duty of buying back land and had been forfeited. Jesus will redeem the earth that mankind sold over to Satan. And we sell ourselves quite often to Satan in different ways. We're deceived at times. We can be deceived as nations. We can be deceived as individuals. But the neat thing is that God is faithful. Just as he was faithful, he took Ruth, a Moabitess, and Naomi. They left. Actually, Naomi's husband Elimelech, in many ways, left Israel. Even though it was a famine, he left disobediently and went to Moab, a place he wasn't to go. Ruth had the choice of not going with Naomi. And we have choices. But the Lord, she listened to the Lord. However Naomi had treated it, Ruth saw Jesus in Naomi, saw the Lord. And so as an example that Ruth sets and Boaz sets is, do people see Jesus in us? Can we be, and we don't know, Ruth did not know that her great-grandson was going to be king over Israel. And she didn't live long enough to know it. She probably knows it now. But the thing is, allow the Lord to work in your lives. Trust him, no matter your circumstances, because we don't know what glory the Lord may get through our lives and through the work of this church. So, Lord, I ask your blessing upon this church and upon this body here, that we